Welcome to this week's teaching from Exchange Church Belfast.
And I want to finish up this series, He Proved His Love. Have you enjoyed it? Have you got something out of it? I'm going to go really quick, and I've got way too much, but I want to get my main point in very quickly, because what I've said is that the most, you've got to get the basics and the foundations right, okay? In order to receive and to walk in God's grace and fullness, there are basic things, and the basic things are always the toughest things. They're always the hardest things. And what I want to talk about today is just how do you keep living in the goodness of Him proving His love for you, the cross? How do you keep living in that? I said that very quickly. Let me just say three things. Everybody's issue, whether they know it or not, is that whenever we do something wrong, there's a price that needs to be paid. Okay, that's the bottom line. Whether you're a believer or not a believer, that is human. So whether if you're living in relationship with Christ or not in relationship with Christ, actually what is common to us all is when we put our hand to something and we do wrong, there's something in us, because that is the way that we are built, that says now a price must be paid for your wrongdoing and amends has to be taken. Do you get that? And so that is what the Bible describes as avon. It's this word rebellion in English. And in Isaiah 53, 700 years before Christ comes, there's this amazing picture where we see that the one who would come, Jesus, the avon of us all, your rebellion, every thought, word, and deed in your life is laid on Him. And what the word avon does is it's not just what you did. It was the consequence that came as a result. Okay, there was a price to be paid for your mess, for my mess. And whenever the Lord laid on Him, talking about the Father to the Son, laid on Him the iniquity, the avon of us all, right? What it shows us is that there was this point that we can all look to in the death of Jesus that we celebrate this time of year, okay? And the power that we live in today, right? Where it goes, every evil thing that I thought, did, planned, or whatever, it was all put on Him, and the consequence even for what that would have brought about in my life or somebody else's has been carried away from me. That's good news for somebody this morning, isn't it? And so what I said then is that there's two things. It talks about guilt and it talks about shame. So guilt is when you do something. And what I said is you have to deal with, don't brush your guilt under the carpet, deal with it. Because if you brush it under the carpet, it becomes shame. So guilt is what you do. I do something. It's normally active, a verb. And the guilt that comes as a result is because I know that I did that, so I should be punished for it. Now, if you do not deal, that's where Jesus says, I came and I dealt with your guilt. Remember I said there's a concept in the word called naka, which means to be guiltless. And so the Jews understood that there was an idea of being without guilt, and they were hanging on for that one who would come without guilt so that they could transfer their guilt. That was Jesus who would come. Okay, so that's what they did. Now, for us, there's also what we call shame. Now, if you don't deal with your guilt, what happens is unchecked, it becomes shame. So now what I do is who I am. Do you get that? And so if I do, that's who I am. And what I said is the results of both guilt and shame. So that's why you cannot leave guilt unchecked. That's why the world is messing it up today. They have no answer for guilt. Do whatever you want. You're going to feel, how do you feel about it? Well, whatever. Okay, we can't help you with that. But just do it anyway, because that's what freedom looks like. It's nonsense. All right? So what do? We medicate, invent disorders, we brush stuff under the carpet, there's a prevalence of mental health, all sorts of stuff going on because we don't have a natural answer for a supernatural question. You get me? And so that's why we deal with guilt quickly. That's why you look up, you see Jesus on the cross, and all of your guilt taken away. That's what avon removed looks like. And then if you don't deal with your guilt, if you suffer with identity issues, and what I mean by that is I'm not good enough, constantly comparing yourself with other people, I'm not that, or that's called shame. Shame is not what I do, it's who I am, right? And remember I told you last week that Jesus had the ultimate shame, which was the cross, all right? It wasn't that He did sin because He was without sin. He actually became sin. You see the difference? And so in becoming sin, He encapsulates and becomes shame. He is put onto a cross and has the most unbelievably publicly humiliating death for Him and for His family. And in order that on the cross, that sense of who you are, right to your very core, the cross goes right to the center, and you exchange shame for glory, doxa, I remember that word, which is a renewed state. Is that good? So that I want to just very quickly speak into that and go, look, you know, this is what it means to be released from the curse. All right, because we, and let me just read the verses. Galatians chapter 3, can I have my water, please? In Galatians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14 says, Christ then, because, you know, Easter is past. We're now, this is Pentecost and the Holy Spirit and power. And I think in my upbringing, right, I was brought up in an environment where quite a tight beginning, you know, if you know my story from the brethren to the free peace and then into the charismatics, woohoo! And that's why I've turned out the way that I have, okay? If you're ever wondering, why is he like that? There you go, all right? You go through that upbringing, you tell me how normal you would be. And so the thing is, right, so I go through that. And what was interesting is, particularly when it came to like power, and we want to have Holy Spirit power, and I understand that. The greatest power that you will ever have in your life is when the Holy Spirit in you reveals Jesus to you. Okay, I believe in a baptism of the Holy Spirit. I believe in speaking in tongues. I believe in the gifts. I believe in all of that. But I also believe that grace, the Spirit of grace, the Holy Spirit, his first and primary role is to reveal Jesus in you. All right? And there is so much more power revealed in us every day when the Spirit of the Lord, the Holy Spirit himself, who came on Pentecost, it's not like he does it to you. He does it in you and wants to flow out of you. Okay? And that's what, in Galatians 3, it says, Christ has redeemed us then. So whenever you go before the cross and now we're post the cross, what has he done? What was the point? You know? You might feel like you're on the boat, but can you get to the other side, Penny? All right? Okay, and enjoy the goodness of it. Because actually, when Paul's writing here, he says, this is what it's like. So let me just, there's a couple of things I just want to say quickly today. Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. All right? Now, I'm going to explain this in one minute. Having become a curse for us. Now, the word curse is kata. Did I actually put this on a slide? If I did, can we throw it out? I did. So according to down, arrow, curse. I like this. Properly, what has to go down? I mean, somebody's talking all east side there in the Greek, aren't they? What's got to go down? The penalties received due to condemnation. So what has Jesus redeemed you from or taken away from you? Properly, that penalty which you should receive because you're condemned. And he has redeemed you, bought you back. To redeem means to pay a price, okay? And so what he has done is he has bought you back, all right? From every penalty that was due to condemnation. Now, we use this word curse all the time, and the condemnation only comes through the law. Do you understand that? So the condemnation that comes, that feeling of not being good enough, being shameful or dirty or guilty or whatever, is because under the law, that's what you are, but under Jesus, he has fulfilled it for you so you can be free. Now, I want to speak into something very quickly today because I get senses of it at times and it drives me nuts. And sometimes it causes some confusion. Go back to Galatians 3 for me, please. So cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessing of Abraham is the blessing of righteousness through faith, not righteousness by works, okay? So it's you're okay with God because you believe in Jesus. And that's the blessing of Abraham. Abraham, remember, received his righteousness and all of that stuff happened way before the law was ever given. All right? And we are spiritual sons and daughters of Abraham. And so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Jesus Christ. Now, there's one thing that I think is a recurring theme, so I'm just going to teach straight into it today. Is that okay? And if you have been around the church for any number of times, there's an area that causes some confusion. Because you see verses like this, and today, here you are a week post-Easter, a week post-resurrection, and Jesus says, I've redeemed you from the curse, okay? What about this whole idea that somebody else can do something which puts you under curse again back in your life? Do you understand what I mean? Sometimes described as generational curses, sometimes described as, you know, well, mostly generational and stuff like that. You see this in the church all the time. And I just want to push the boundaries really, really far in terms of just what Jesus has done for you. And I want to really encourage you this morning that there is nobody, nothing on the earth, above the earth, or beneath the earth that will ever, ever put you back under the curse from what he has redeemed you from, ever, ever. Do you know, I used to love it. You know, there was a time in my growing up, I could have walked into church, right, covered in blood as a mass murderer, right, with a knife in my hand, going, but see, that would have been better than being in the Orange Order. Seriously? Can I just say that? Oh, controversially mentioned the Orange Order. Yes, it did. See, the Masonic, holy smokes. Now, I'm not saying those are all good. But what I'm saying is the church got so out of whack with this stuff that the mass murderers were better than the Orange Men. Have you ever heard such complete nonsense? Now, I'm starting to poke. You thought this was going to be nice, didn't you? Can we just really poke under the surface this morning? Because he's really set you free. And we need to really have a big view of who Jesus is and what his work is. Now, this is not a party political broadcast in any way, all right? This is where we launch Exchange LOL. So before you go today, just get measured up for your sashes on the way out, all right? Can you imagine? Flute practice is straight after coffee. And can you imagine? Our first song this morning is We Are the Billy Boys. Everybody stand to sing. Can you imagine? And I'm not saying that. Oh, look, some people are really offended. I love it. But it's so funny, isn't it, that what we have done at times. And I think there are particular issues around some of that stuff, but just hear me out a wee minute. That in no way, see what I was told, my grandfather was an Orangeman, right? And his grandfather, father and grandfather before him. Now listen to me. If in the church that I grew up in, I was under curse. Do you get that? So I would read verses like this. It would say, Christ has set me free from the curse of the law, right? And all of a sudden, because it says, having become a curse for us, curse is everyone who hangs upon a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon me. But your grandfather was an Orangeman. He's probably in the Masons as well. Holy smokes, you are doubly down. I mean, they used to have prayer lines for everyone whose father had ever walked past a Masonic lodge. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's okay. But what I'm saying is, what kind of Jesus do you love and serve? If the Orange Order is more powerful than what happened when he proved his love for you. Yeah, come on. Seriously, come on. Yeah. And this is the message of grace that so many people in our country need to hear. Yeah. That there's no name higher, no name greater, no name stronger than Jesus Christ, King of Kings. I'm only getting wound up. I've even had it in the church. You know, people say, well, in my experience, Andrew, whenever I minister, I just, you know, it might just be my thing. I just have to keep casting out the spirit of the orange. Isn't it funny? And I kind of go, here, let me just help you with that. And I'll tell you now, because the reason why I'm really hammering this one is because if you allow that in one area of your life, okay, it's going to pop up somewhere else.
Yeah.
So listen to me. It's Jesus or nothing. His work or nothing. Because we talk about grace and we talk about works and let's not live in balance. Yeah, I understand that, but oh yeah, in this little area, okay, don't open yourself up in any way to that kind of false thinking. Because I'll tell you what happens is, and I remember that this happened to me once, only once, as you'll tell. I'm a nightmare if you want to pray for me, because I lock my knees, I stand, and I'm going, Lord, seriously, you're going to have to knock me over, because I'm not getting pushed, right? And you know that whole, just feel the, like, becomes a tussle. And I remember what one person trying to, literally, it's funny looking back of it, trying to cast out the spirit of King Billy, right? And you think I'm joking? Standing in my last church, oh, it's just the spirit of King Billy all over you. And I was like, what? Seriously? Help me out here. How did I even get the spirit of King Billy? But seriously, giving it all up, just feel it. And I'm like, I'm standing there going, oh, Jesus. Should I whistle the sash? Would that help? Can you imagine? That would really play with our heads, wouldn't it? Let me maintain that experience is always from the Word. Consistent with the work of Jesus and consistent with the nature and the character of God. If it's not, then it has to be looked at. Now, the idea that you can still be under curse right, when Jesus said he set you free, is lifted from different bits of scripture and kind of cobbled together. But I actually just wanted to say there's something powerful about grace, which goes, because sometimes in our heads, if it's not about us, what we do is we say it's about somebody else, and this is why this is happening. Do you get that? Now, let me just help you from the word about how that operates. You know, the idea that back, you know, there's something more, there's something outside of you. So the Lord can take away my rebellion, my guilt, my shame. But, you know, this in my family is just always there. Or, you know, somebody can do something and therefore this will, you know, can I just really cut through that to go, Jesus is bigger than it all. Yeah. Bigger than it all. Let me show you from the word what I mean. Now, I was in real trouble. I remember when they were trying to cast King Billy out of me, how he got in there, I don't know. But I remember thinking, I'm in trouble here because I don't know what... Penny has a memory, like a really good memory. And so she'll say to me, do you know that person that we talk to? And I'm going, I've never met them before. You know that one, Ben? Remember, oh, no, you do know them? Never. Andrew, you had coffee with him, did I? Can't remember. You know, and she'll say, we did that. I literally am like a goldfish. And so, which is good in a way and bad in a way. Now, what is interesting is that I can't remember what I did 2 weeks ago. So to hold me accountable for that is okay, but I literally, you might need to help me. It's just a thing. Some people are really good, I'm not. You start to get into my great-grandfather and what he did on the 27th of April, 1846, all right? Do you see how screwy this kind of thinking is? You're being held accountable for something that he did 132 years ago, right? Can I tell you something? When I say it like that, we almost go, that is a nonsense, isn't it? But sometimes it rests in our hearts because the principle is somebody else can put me under curse. And they can't. Amen. And some of us live, though, with the, you know, there's two levels to this. Number one, it's what people do to you, but also how you behave towards others, particularly parents. Sometimes as parents, I know that I feel like my behavior or in growing up or whatever, do you know, it's like, am I helping my kids or not helping them? Do you get that? But when they come to Christ for themselves and discover him, then the word says that his goodness and his favor lasts for 1,000 generations. He restores and pays back everything to them. Do you hear me? So this operates on lots of levels. So let me just say this. The Lord, let me just give you some of the Bible for where this comes from. The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, that's our word, avon, and sin, and by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children to the third and fourth generation. So that's where you get somebody lifting this up. Now, I have to say, this is where you know in grace how to rightly divide the word, isn't that right? Before Christ or after Christ? Before the cross or after the cross, okay? Now, but there's also in the law of the Pentateuch, another principle, and not many, you know, I'm going to say some in some of this kind of thinking where it puts people under stuff. They don't go to this other law in the same, in the Pentateuch, where it goes, Deuteronomy 24, fathers shall not be put to death for their sons, nor shall sons be put to death for their fathers. Everyone shall be put to death for his own sin. Oh, that's a bit tricky for the big conferences that are releasing people from generational curses, isn't it? Because that's in the law as well. Just depends which way you want to look at it. Put very simply, can I just say this? You're not responsible for the sins of what happened in your line. Right now, this morning, you are free. I don't care whether your great-great-grandfather is King Billy. I actually don't give a monkeys, all right? Or I need to find somebody on the national side. Just to weigh things up in case you're getting all offended. But you know what I mean? I don't care who your grandfather was. Whenever that moment came when you decided to trust Christ, everything in your life started again, brand new. Do you hear me? You're great. Do you know that our favorite movie that we watch together is Hitch? Have you ever seen it? Okay, when he takes his want-to-be girlfriend and discovers that the butcher of Cadiz, he thought it was a profession, but actually he was a serial killer, and she freaks out, okay? We'll go anyway, you go to watch it, right? The butcher of Cadiz, I thought it was a profession. No, he was actually a serial killer, and she just finds out. You know, It doesn't matter how bad your line is. Right now, in Christ, you are free. You are free. Free from every curse. Stop worrying about what other people do or think they can do to you. They have no power other than that which you give them. Because the ultimate authority in your life and how you live in the goodness of the cross, particularly in our country, is to have Christ alone. Only Jesus. And all of this stuff that's written before, when we get to the cross, he says it's done. It's absolutely done. If a father rejects the covenant of God and takes his family into sin and rejects God, then the children will suffer the effects, often for several generations. I've even seen that in my own family, okay? And I've said this before, but my grandfather was an alcoholic and a gambler, right? Every penny the family ever got, he either drank it or gambled it. Apparently it was great crack and a fantastic night out, mostly because the family were paying for it, but there you go, one of those kind of Belfast characters. That's what I grew up with. Well, I didn't know him. But I could see the effects of that with my mum. But you know what? See, when it came to me, right? If that was truth, I would be an alcoholic gambler. Never, do you know, that's the, you know, but that's what some people have you. No, oh, no, no, you're a Christian, that's great. But you know, you've really got to deal with this. Jesus dealt with it. He dealt with it. I can't deal with anything. I have no power to deal with anything. I have no authority to deal with anything. I have no way of dealing with any of that stuff. But when it came to me, Christ looked at me and said, I have redeemed you, Andrew, from all of that curse. Do you hear what I'm saying, church? When he set you free, you are free indeed. So stop worrying about your past. Stop worrying about your family line. Stop worrying about what they did or what they didn't do. Stop worrying about the effects that you may think it may be having on you right now. And look at that cross and go, you proved your love for me. Because whenever you hung on that tree, you became every curse that was ever written against me. Every bit of written code that was ever down, you became that for me. That's grace. And so because of that, I am free this morning. I am free from worrying about the past. I am free from worrying about history. I don't care what they did or who they did it with, because I am free. That is the grace of Jesus for you today. Isn't it amazing? Isn't it absolutely amazing? That's what John 8:36 says. Therefore, if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. All right? Now, what about this? Hard written into the law at that time, you know, so we can lift these one verses out from Exodus, and we can lift, but in Deuteronomy 7, it says this, therefore, know that the Lord your God, he's God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and mercy for 1,000 generations with those who love him and keep his commandments. Now, we know after the cross, okay, those who love him and Jesus kept the commandments, okay, and for 1,000 generations doesn't mean that there's an end point, it's just language to say that his love never stops for you because of Christ. Never. Therefore, know that the Lord your God, he keeps his promise to you. And his promise to you is whenever you came to him, there was nothing that would ever stand in your way of receiving grace upon grace and going from glory to glory. Isn't that good? You see, I remember telling the story in here very quickly. Like even curses today, you know, I remember we lived quite close to the Cumber Greenway, and I remember walking and kids had sprayed a pentagram on the floor, on the ground. I remember walking, didn't have a dog at that stage, I remember I was just walking, and I walked on it, you know, just walked because it was a massive thing. And this woman stopped me and said, like, whoa. And I was like, what? She went, don't walk on that. Do you know what that is? And I went, to be fair, I actually didn't. I went, it's a big round thing. It's a bit of graffiti. And she went, that's a pentagram. You shouldn't ever walk on a pentagram because, you know, you'll be, yeah, I don't know what will happen. You'll grow horns, and I don't know what she was going on about. She was a wee bit crazy, to be fair. And I was like, you know what, love? I'm going to stand and trample all over that thing. If you think for 1 minute that Christ in me is somehow put off by some wee lad with a can of spray paint, like seriously, And I was much nicer than that, but in my head, I was kind of going, mm-hmm. All right? I go, like, seriously? Help me out here. Isn't it funny? We have all of these crazy ideas that sometimes need to be addressed. Proverbs 26 says this, a curse undeserved shall not come. That's the word of the Lord for you. And here's the thing, you might go, well, I might deserve it, okay? In Christ, you may deserve it, but you don't get what you deserve, you get what he got, okay? Balaam, even Balaam says, how can I curse whom God has not cursed? Right? Just think about that, that's the Old Testament. And whenever you put the cross into the center, how much more for those who now are in Christ? How much more? So there's Balaam who goes against the people of God and he looks and when he sees blessing, all right, he can't even open his mouth to curse that which God has blessed. Church, do you realize this morning that because of Jesus, whether it's spiritual powers, whether it's the devil himself, whether it's a kid with a spray paint, whether it was King Billy on his white horse in your family line, whenever they look at you in the spirit, I'm telling you now, they might lift their hand to you. They might plot against you, but they will not succeed. Why? Because nobody is going to curse that whom God has blessed, and that is you. Amen. So do you know what that means? That means you don't, just flip me, this is like St. Anne's Cathedral, isn't it? Everyone clapping. Jesus, I get to the start, end and look awkward. Do you know what I mean? Remember that this week? Awkward. And so the point is for me to go, this is how you live in the goodness of the cross. Whether it comes at you, from behind you, from the left or from the right, what you do is you stand with the cross in front. Okay? And remember, when you stand with a cross in front, your enemies flee. And there is no one, nowhere, at any time will ever undo the work of Jesus for you. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Don't allow even that little bit of thinking into your life. Don't allow it. It's not okay. It'll undermine. I absolutely have got about a wee bit through my talk here. I guess what I want to... I might actually just leave it here. Is that okay? Because I could follow up on this next week. Because I actually feel like the word that I've given this morning, even that's in its shortness almost, there's something very powerful about it. Do you get me? Because I honestly think that the Lord wants to do some business with you this morning that goes, where in my life and in my heart have I been allowing even the thought that somebody else gets to play God in my life? Where's that been? Because it robs us. When we give that power to someone other than Jesus, it robs us. It undermines our strength. It undermines our ability to believe for more. Because I can stand here, isn't it crazy, the thought of it? I can stand here and say, yes, Lord, you love me, but they can, Lord goes, no, can we just cut that off, all right? The other bit of it is also true. The other side of it is also true. Many of us grew up with fantastic parents and great parents, and I'm really grateful for mine, for all of their foibles. And as you get older, you kind of realize that your parents were just making it up like you are as a parent, isn't that right? That's the truth, isn't it? Anyone, all the parents, don't look at me like our parents, because I am literally making it up as I go along, all right? And God's good, isn't he? Don't look at me like our Penny. And but the other side of it is also true, that when you keep yourself in the goodness of the cross, you go, even if I was super blessed in my family, I honor my parents, I love them, I'm grateful for what has been put into my life, but there is also so much more. Because my parents can only bring me so far, can only provide so much. But when I come to the cross, all the negative is done, but all the goodness, he says, isn't that awesome how I blessed you that way? Now, so much more over and abundant for you. I want you to walk out of here today, and we're just going to stop. Could you come up, Becca? I want you to go out of here today almost with that sense of completeness around what the cross meant. There's no gaps left unplugged in your world. There's no areas of ingress that the devil can use against you. Because when he set you free, you were free indeed. Wholly, perfectly, and completely. He didn't leave. Other people may plot. Other people may plan. Other people may come against. Other people may be up to their necks in it. But it will not come near you. Do you hear me? It will not come near you or the ones that you love. Because the Lord will set himself up in your life. Okay? And he will set himself up in such a way as where you see in Revelation that he is bigger and stronger and greater. So stop giving your attention to other things. Stop worrying about what went on. Because when he became cursed for you, he became the curse in order to release you from every curse. No condemnation this morning. Isn't that amazing? I love how the Lord ministers deep into our lives to help us with our fears, to help us with our worries, to help us with our anxieties, to help us to think, well, what about, and that he didn't, that, and the Lord goes, stop. Just look at the cross. Look at the cross and see in that work perfection and completeness for you. And so what we need to do with people is stop going over and over and over things, even in their past at times, because it's not helpful. There are times when people need help to unpick, but the best thing that we can do as friends, brothers, sisters, where people need encouraged, is to lift their eyes up to Jesus and say, have a look at him. Now, what does he say about your past? He'll say that your past has no power over you. No unwritten claims. I remember Derek Prince many years ago. There's a declaration that he wrote about the exchange on the cross. He says, the devil has no unwritten claims against me. I remember reading that as a kid going, flip, that's brilliant. Lots of claims, but, you know, no unsettled claims, sorry, against me. Because everything has been settled by the blood of Jesus. I remember as a kid even reading that going, my goodness, every claim against my life. So even if there was something that the devil could have pointed at, the claim was settled. Isn't that amazing? Point people to Jesus. This week, lift your eyes up. He proved his love. Wasn't just for you, but was all around you. Do you get that? Wasn't just in your little bit, and then there's danger here. No, there's your little bit, and wherever you step into blessing and favor. You don't step into curse anyway. You step into blessing and favor.